Will you pray with me? Father God, we ask that the words that you've shared with me may melt and remold and remend our hearts, that the thoughts of our minds and the meditations on our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In your name we pray. Today we embark on week two of our tag team's series on giving. Last week, Kevin gave us foundational verses for considering our attitude on giving, and we considered four New Testament verses, two from Luke, one from Corinthians, and one from 1 John. They're listed in the bulletin again. This week we're going to especially draw on the passage from 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians. It's the one that hit me the hardest, and so it's the one I'm going to be speaking on today. However, I want to draw a complementary light to what Kevin said, and not new lessons necessarily from what Kevin had taught us about. So I'm interested to bring out two significant issues from the verses for us to consider. I want to talk about the me of giving and the who of giving. With the me of giving, I'm looking at the selfish or even partial selfishness that can easily creep into those times when we're called to give. And the who of giving is even more focused on what our giving looks like, what God's call looks like when we're called to give. The Bible certainly is not lacking on verses for giving. Kevin last week mentioned that there's a lot in the Old Testament about giving, and there really is a lot there. Plenty on monetary giving and giving it wrong and giving it right. And there's plenty there and a good number of investigations to do. So I'll leave those for you on your own time. And perhaps we'll even skip your favorite in the New Testament on giving. There's certainly a lot. In that case, I just ask for your grace in this time. But before I continue to speak on the focus of giving, I want to come to a more fundamental question of who. Who am I to speak on giving? And in general, who should get to speak about giving, especially monetarily? Should we let the person who has foregone all things, who has no material possessions, should that person get to talk about giving? Or is it perhaps the man who has had so much and has learned a lesson from having so much that he has turned his heart back to give and give and give abundantly? There's echoes here of people we might want to speak, but we have words from Jesus, actually. A number of passages, but I'll highlight one. When Jesus is watching the woman at the coffers in the temple. In Mark 12, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, "Truly I tell you, this widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on her own." This woman, who's given everything, put complete faith in God, complete trust in his provision. This is who we probably want to speak on the topic, the person Jesus is praising, perhaps. Or maybe, if you search your own heart, as I did last week, if we're being really honest here, we're not sure we want that person to speak, because we're not sure we want that person to call us to as high a standard as God might actually hold us to. There's danger here. We see the words two coins and the phrase all. And when we talk about giving, we often, this is the way we think about. We want to think about numbers on bank statements and percentages and volumes. Instead, we want to hear what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that God will give back in abundance. This is an extremely dangerous pitfall. For God doesn't promise to give us back bartering wealth, this paper money, or even material wealth and goods. But what he promises to give us are spiritual blessings. Right? The blessings of our faithfulness, of seeing myself and him in our relationship, the most beautiful thing, the thing that heaven is composed of, our relationships with him. This is worship and love of our God. The line between this, though intellectually interesting sermon on Monday, and our daily practice can be incredibly long. So in order to help bridge that gap a little bit, I have to disclose myself. You can only really change whenever you encounter something you trust. This is why we encourage you to read the Bible, but also to experience it out. If you don't trust it, it can't change you. So who gets to speak, and do I get to speak? I will quote you a verse that was in the introduction to a book I read recently. From St. John of the Ladder, who was a 7th century monk, who said, If some of you are dominated by their former bad habits, yet can teach by mere words, let them teach. Perhaps by being put to shame by their own words, they will eventually begin to practice what they teach. So here's my disclosure. I am blessed beyond measure. My God has provided abundantly, and there are numbers here, percentages. For me, in terms of giving to the church, that number starts at 10%. That's the only percent you're going to hear today. For me, that is the gift of Abel before God instead of the gift of Cain before God, giving him my first fruits. And then the rest of giving from out of his abundance moves from there. There are other numbers. If you want to hear them, just ask. But I'm not going to give you other numbers from the pulpit. That's not the place. So, let us return to our passage in a most dangerous way. Paul speaks on stewardship, and I'm going to repeat it here. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that at all times, in having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Indeed, I actually recommend if you have the time this next week, this passage highlights especially a material wealth, but in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are all on stewardship, which is actually the broader context that we want to get to today. Stewardship is our widest context to talk about giving. When vows are made before the church, as we're talking about church membership, there's actually a list of pledges that are made, that we pledge to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. I perhaps mispronounced. Let me clarify the pronunciation. Presence, not the presence under the Christmas tree. Your presence, all of you present here. If you notice the order here, and the order is important, the first thing that we're called to is prayer. Just as Jesus on a mountain would go off into a quiet place before coming back to be with his disciples. We're always coming back to our Father first, empty-handed in prayer. We then consider our presence, that thing that God has gifted you and me alone to be able to bestow. We control our own bodies. We control our own ability to give our presence to places. We then come to our gifts and our service, that which God has blessed us with, material wealth and time, and that which we look to provide and share, and the church asks you to provide and share with it. And there's also witness. This creed is actually found on page 48 of the hymnal, if you want to look it up. Witness is not listed there because I grabbed it from the hymnal, and then my dad told me that since the time this was printed, that witness had been added. So these are a little dated, but witness is also there, which serves as a reminder that even after these first four that don't necessarily require us to use our voice, we can still be called to raise our voice, to share the stories of God's blessing and the story of what we see God doing all around us. So this bar is high. And we're going to press onward towards stewardship, but first, grace. Grace and peace. If we're going to set a high bar, we must talk about grace. For those that it's grace and peace with which we greet each other when we spend time together. It's what Christ gives in abundance, grace to you all. And perhaps maybe I should be more concerned, such that I, the one would be speaking, would be convicted by my own voice. Let it be so. Hands raised. We and I and you are all under grace, brought into right relationship with our God. But now I want to bring us back to the focus which I brought us to at the beginning, the two questions, the me and the how of giving. So let's ask a different question, how to remove the me of giving. I actually put a more eloquent version of this question to my roommate 2 weeks ago. I was convicted in my selfishness, actually. I'd went for a drive and was talking with God, and God showed me that I'd been tempted. I'd seen my own selfishness, but was tempted to overcome it with more selfishness. doesn't always appear that way. That wasn't my thought process. My thought process was, I don't like this aspect of myself that's not achieving at work, but I want to be seen in high regard, so I'll use this selfishness to overcome this other selfishness. There's words from C.S. Lewis that say, the devil would love to fix one problem of you if you can give you something worse. He would love to trade you your broken arm for an ailment you can't even see. It's truly playing in dangerous waters to try to overcome selfishness with pride, or my gluttony with pride, or any of those things that is more held to the heart, that's harder for God to break, that we want to cling to Him so that He will remove the selfishness. So that if I have a broken arm, that God can fix my broken arm and give me heaven. Better, He can fix my broken arm so that my broken arm may go and do things for the kingdom of God. Here we have to check our heart and ask the question, how do I overcome selfishness? How do I push on to my God? And that's kind of the answer there, actually. If I give to God so that He will give back to me, if I empty my bank account so that God may bring it back plus more, that's not really the relationship I want with my God. That's my relationship with my broker. I don't want the relationship I have with my God, with my broker. I want a trusting and loving relationship with my God. And maybe a relationship, you're not to attack a relationship with a broker. That can be a glorious and good thing as we go to give good gifts to other people, and even steward what God has put in our lives. But with my God, I want intimacy. I want this trust. Blessed to be a blessing is actually the line from what Abraham tells God that He will make him to be. And we seek that same blessing. So if you see where we've traveled, we've actually traveled in an answer to how to overcome the me. We've also mostly arrived at an answer to the who. It's one of the troubles with following some of these questions to their ends, especially when it comes before the throne of God, because you tend to get answers to multiple questions at times. Not every question will be answered. But in seeing that to overcome the me of giving, I need to go before God and offer my thanks to God. But God looks back at me and everyone around me. And so that's kind of the answer to the who, is who has God put in front of you? What has God provided you as a means to give? Now, that is not to say every means is called of you of God. You have to be discerning. You have to be a steward, right? Called to be in stewardship for that which God has provided us to give. I want to take a moment to give an aside here. One of the other things when we talk about giving that often comes up is greed. Jesus actually speaks on greed 10-1 versus adultery in the New Testament. It's one of those incredible, incredible numbers. But I want to clarify here, giving doesn't overcome greed. Giving increases trust, which can increase your faith, and all of this increases your love with God, which can pull you past fear. And this fear is what becomes the basis of your greed. So by giving, you can end up with less greed, but you don't give to overcome greed, if you follow me there. The process is important to make sure we're keeping our eyes on God the whole time that we're giving. So Kevin brought it up, and I must return to a point here. This is a giving sermon in good times. We are not asking for the number of donations to the church to increase. No, what's more, we're raising a different bar. We're asking for your prayers and your presence, your gifts and your service, and especially your witness. We're asking for a very high bar, which is why we must also bring up grace. Sometimes it's not contained here, but we hope that this is the place to bring your renewal so that you can keep pushing back to God week after week. When you go out and spend your time during the week, you can come back here for renewal on the weekends and even in between. The church in our culture often asks for 10%. Kevin and I both submit that you should give what's on your heart. And taking the time to find out that you are giving what's on your heart is the even higher burden that is placed on you here. You are blessed abundantly, as am I. There are stories of giving. And then occasionally God shows us those fruits, but not always. And so we're trusting in Him with our giving that He will do with it what He wills. another point, one last before we close. We want your voice. One of the things in the Methodist and even Protestant method is lots of committees. And committees have a bad reputation. But they are used as we, the collection, the people in the church, to steer the church, both its funds and its space and the collective direction of the church. So we do also ask your service and your participation in this church, especially with some of the issues we're facing as we go forward. Especially as this church goes forward, we consider we do have a World Vision Fund for Ann Emanuel in Mexico City, that we could potentially put some funds to help a missionary. The numbers actually are $1,000 for the year or $5 per member to help support a missionary. And then we would, unfortunately, obligation, I hate to use the word obligation, but it's a bit of what it is. We get a conversation with our missionary to come present to us and tell us stories that they have from their times abroad. We support local missions through 8th Avenue Place, and that was directed by members. And there's other collegiate ministries around here that we could easily direct funds to help and support. The church is filled with people on these committees, but I plead you to remember that saints are just saved sinners. That sometimes we can disrupt each other's prayer and patience and peace, but God has much of that to give, and we cling back to Him. So I encourage you to meditate on your giving. Have conversations. Conversations begin transforming with people you trust. So if you're looking to consider that, consider the conversations with people you trust. And there is no call for money here except one, actually. It was revealed to me at our charge conference that there's statements of finances in here if you want to see them for the church. The one that came up short this year was actually our World Vision Fund. We pledged $350 and had $269. So I would ask you to, when you walk by, hopefully we can leave more of the updates over there on the table. I don't see any over there right now. But that you walk by and remember even those who are abroad, especially if we were to pick up a missionary as well, that we would remember them as well. In this time of Thanksgiving, I ask you to consider your blessings and count the ways to be a blessing. God gives in abundance, and God gives in times of scarcity. Praise be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you for times of fellowship and all the blessings, the innumerable blessings you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.